Hello and welcome to Matushka's Right Peg. This is episode 20. We're fresh on the heels of a 1-0 away victory at Gladbach. In the podcast studio this evening, as ever, we have Mark Jameson, Baz Timmers, and Kyle Walsh. We may have a special guest. He wasn't on the party train yesterday, but rumour has it he did have a few train cans. He may make it into the studio, but we'll see if Don does arrive. First of all, let's have a look back at the last three games that Union played since we recorded episode 19. Kyle, first up with you. The last three games, are you happy, first of all, with the points tally that we've managed to amass?
I didn't expect anything out of the Dortmund game. So, yes, that's fine. However, given how the game panned out, one lucky bounce for their second goal. Then we didn't get to take something away from there, and it's a place where we've, particularly in recent seasons, really struggled, and it was good to see a strong performance and can take quite a lot from that. But hey, if that's the 2 points that helps Dortmund beat Bayern to the title, then so be it, for the greater good. Although how things transpired, it could have been us. Bochum, we spoke in the last episode about moments of madness where we just have 5, 10, 15 minutes where we absolutely lose the run of ourselves and we're playing catch up or we've put ourselves in a crap situation as a result. That happened there, you know. The second half, the team didn't come out. The first half, you know, we weren't fantastic, but we were doing enough. And sometimes that's all you really need. You know, good teams can get results when they're not playing well. To come out in the second half, be under the cosh from the get-go, and then concede and almost like a couple of minutes later, give up the daftest second yellow. I'm sure Paul Yeko would have been kicking himself for that, you know, in the dressing room and that, because it was daft, it was a challenge, it wasn't necessary and so on. But, and then we're, you know, fighting again, and we still, despite the circumstances, you know, could have still came away with 3 points, but it wasn't to be. We often struggle against teams in the bottom half of the table for no real reason. Maybe we underestimate them or that, but so be it. And then yesterday, God, fantastic performance, 1-0, probably flattered Gladbach. Very interesting to see them having to resort to playing Marvin Friedrich up top. I know he was complaining about his game time in recent fixtures, and, you know, kind of once away from Gladbach. Yeah, when you're playing a centre-back at striker, it's maybe not the best. And, you know, we maybe get criticisms for being a long ball team at times. We definitely weren't yesterday. And Gladbach playing centre-backs up top definitely were.
Yeah, I mean, that was an interesting one. Maybe not what Big Marv had in mind when he said he'd like some extra game time. Yeah, it was that moment when Thuram came off and their last throw of the dice was to put a centre-half up front that you realised actually how far Union have come. And let's be clear, I mean, Gladbach are one of the kind of traditional teams in German football. This is not like we were playing some sort of upstart in the in the Bundesliga. This is a very well-established club that Union have maybe played quite well against of since we've been in the top flight. Jameson, what do you make of obviously the Gladbach game and then the other games that Kyle's mentioned against Dortmund and Bochum?
Yeah, I think Kyle's pretty much covered what the Dortmund game. The annoying thing is I think we could have probably got something out of that, and we scored and hit them with a sucker punch. A friend of mine was there in the stadium, and he said that Union were just there to hit on the break, and we did that with bravura and scored from it as well. So ultimately, though, we're not going to go to Dortmund and say that we're favourites, are we? I mean, this is the team who quite rightly, maybe even slight favourites for the championship, the way that things are going now. So no problems with it. I think we even said in the last podcast that no points in Dortmund was more or less expected. Bochum, yeah, you would have hoped for a win there. Even in the first half, as Kyle said, we played fairly decent, I would say. Certainly nothing that would suggest what would happen. And we came out We didn't come out at all in the second half. There's a feeling going around that the Ultras, when they play, they have a sing song, right? That's what happens this year. I don't know if Baz will certainly back me up on this. If they get a new song or have a sing song, it goes on for like about 10, 15 minutes after the second half starts. There's no difference of what they sing depending on what's going on the pitch. And it's happened in a couple of games now where almost they've got everyone asleep on and off the pitch. And it was just a crazy little while, like Kyle said. The red card changes things entirely because it changes the flow of the game and it changes what we're actually trying to get out of the game. And it changes Bochum's attention to the game as well. You can't also forget that as well. That said, Leitch came on and gave the back five then the shape that it needed. I have to say that Jekyll was not very good, regardless of the red card. He got caught out numerous times. This was the revival of the Prague Paul Jekyll, the diving in, the not making the right decisions. Whether that's due to a lack of practice, I don't know. But Leitch came in and actually did quite admirably. And ultimately, I mean, if Behrens puts that in the last minute, then we could have easily got 3 points there. And that was a bloomer. He hasn't had many this year and he's had a fantastic season, but you'd say 9 times out of 10, he puts that in. And that's a shame. Again, you maybe sort of expect a point. You maybe expect to beat Bochum 3 points and then draw away at Gladbach, because Gladbach, as you say, are an established team. So 4 points from Dortmund, Bochum and Gladbach is probably not the is probably about right, I would say. That's certainly the minimum that I would have expected from those three games. But like as Kyle said as well, we played very, very well. The one thing that I would say that from a personal point of view is that, yeah, Becker had a man of the match performance. Everyone sees the man of the match performance. A word to Roussillon for like running himself absolutely into the deck. He could barely walk off at the end, and that cross was just absolutely perfect. Love the guy, love the player. But the final word goes to Rani Kadira after his signing of a contract, apparently against higher bids from other teams, as it's come out now. He played fantastically. This is exactly if you want to show someone what Rani Kadira brings to our team, show him that game. The amount of attacks that he broke up in the sort of just our side of the halfway line, the amount of attacks he broke up was astonishing yesterday. And full credit to him. He was my man of the match. I know that Becker did everything, but did made the goal, but he was my man of the match, 100%.
Indeed, indeed. Fully agree with that, Mark. I think, yeah, Roussillon's performance, but then the kind of exquisite scoop that he managed to thread into Becker. I mean, Becker's running sort of went one way, defender went there, came back the other way, created the space, was also fantastic. But yeah, the goal scorers will always get the glory, but Roussillon's performance was probably the best I've seen him play, and Kedira in the middle of the park was fantastic. Baz, the last three games for you.
For whatever it's worth, the previous time we said that Union only had to win its home games and that would be pretty much secure of Champions League football. It turned out, of course, that it wouldn't be the Union way if we wouldn't take the difficult way. As Mark just said, we were counting on 3 points against Bochum and maybe gets 1 point at Gladbach or at Dortmund. In the end, it can be the other way around. Not much to add, I must say, to what Mark and Kyle have been saying. I wouldn't be too hard on Jekyll yet. I know it did remind us the red card of the Prague game early in his Union career, but we also had Diogo Leite send off a couple of weeks ago for an incredibly stupid red card, and he has been making a string of other errors on the pitch as well, which we didn't see Jekyll do. So I wouldn't be too hard on him. In general, I'd say that I've got a really good feeling about current development, because since we're out of the Europa League and out of the Cup, you can obviously see that we've got time to train and time to rest again. The game against Gladbach was very good. We never lost control. It's as much Urs Fischer football as you will ever See, I guess where the opponent doesn't really get a chance almost to score a goal, and we're very much in control of the situation. So I'm actually, but that's already looking forward, very positive towards the next couple of games, because I've got good hopes that we're going to get in a flow again, like the last two seasons, by the way.
Thanks, Baz. And yeah, you rightly mentioned the next two games. We'll certainly come on to our thoughts on those. And our guest Don has now arrived, looking pretty fresh actually from the Gladbach game yesterday, Don. So
what should was have seen me at 7:30 this morning, Mark. You wouldn't have been saying that.
Yeah, it's a good job we have this podcast on the evening. So what was it an early start, Don, for you yesterday?
Yeah, I half the time between London and Rotterdam, so I was in Rotterdam, so I drove down yesterday afternoon, which was supposed to be quite leisurely to give me a lot of time. There wasn't a hotel room to be had in Mönchengladbach, which, I mean, we had 2,500 fans. It's not that big a place. So for some reason, maybe Uniona was hoteled out. So I was staying in Krefeld, which is another interesting German industrial town. And so I had to get from there to the ground, which is a straightforward 35-minute train journey, which I had all planned. So an hour and a half on the platform, I was starting to slightly panic a bit. So it turned into a wee bit of a saga, but as you'll know, Mönchengladbach's games ground is outside of the town. So that was another bus journey out. But having been to quite a few away games this season, that is that's just part of the gig in the Bundesliga game. So many of the stadiums are outside the city centre. So we got there in the end. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the big differences, actually, isn't it, about being in the top flight as opposed to the zweite Bundesliga. That you've got places where you've got these kind of pretty big stadiums. I mean, I don't know what Kyle will probably correct me in terms of the capacity, but many of these stadiums are somewhere in the range of kind of 40 to 60,000. So invariably they're built out of town. Whereas, I don't know, you go to some places like, I don't know, Cottbus away, and you can walk along very similar to Union. You can walk along the canal and through a forest almost. So what was your kind of feeling as you're going towards the ground? What was the atmosphere like yesterday, Don? Did you get any sense from the home fans that they were looking forward to this fixture? I know the weather looked fairly inclement as well.
Well, fun enough, I was thinking about this today when I came back, Mark. So if you let me go off on a slight tangent here, because I was thinking about that yesterday. One of the great things about this group, Union in English, and the sort of friendship we have, of course, is that there's all different generations, and probably fair to say that I'm one of the older members of the group. And I was thinking, you know, from quite young, I was always fascinated by Germany in some way, and I have a really strong recollection, and I would have been young, this is in the 70s, of seeing what the equivalent of Football Focus, whatever it was at the time, doing a profile on Günter Netzer, who was the iconic Borussia Mönchengladbach footballer. And at that time, he had long hair. He was a bit of a playboy. He was quite glamorous, and he was getting very well known. And they did a feature on him, and I was sort of mesmerized by this guy. He did the interview with him and doing the keepy uppies. And of course, he is probably their greatest player. And then he went on later to be involved with Kyle's favorite team in Hamburg and the European glory there, and Felix Magath, and all these people that are, you know, come back into our consciousness. And even though it's the new Borussia Mönchengladbach ground outside the city, I was thinking, you know, all these things that I connected with when I was a youth, and now through this Union and this adventure of going to away games, I'm going to those places, and, you know, I'm rooting them in things that I knew and things that I connected with when I was young, like I do with music in Berlin and everything. So I had, even though it's a bit of a corporate estate out there, I had a connection. Anyway, that's a slight tangent. And it was a good feeling. I think they have a very good support, nice people, everything quite cool and relaxed. with a lot of our group around as well. It didn't seem tense in any way. I don't know what the expectation was. And with us, we were all there pretty early. The ground was filling up quite early, and it was a good atmosphere. And as with always with Union or away, we were, you know, in early. People were up for it. There was a great atmosphere and the camaraderie that goes with the experience.
Before we maybe get to the terraces, and always, I know you like to get there an hour ahead and send a picture to the group, and half the time we can't see the pitch because the flag's already up. But
yeah, because I was triggered by what Donald said, and Günter Netzer and the old days in the 70s and 80s, and when Gladbach were called the Fallen. When I was still living in the Netherlands, I was literally living away 60, 70 minutes drive from Gladbach, and I went there many times to the former stadium called Bökelberg, which was in a former quarry. And that was an absolutely brilliant stadium. It was kind of like the current Alte Försterei, but then even without a roof. But they had terraces on three sides as well. It was super close to the pitch, in my personal opinion. Although the new stadium is really nice, and you're close to the pitch as well, and it's comfortable, I think it shows exactly how not to do it if you want to stay really close to your roots and to your soul as a club, because I think that the new stadium just doesn't have the same soul as the Bökelberg did, which was much more towards the city center. Don, you know where it is. It's like, even it's far outside of the city center. It's close to the highway. And I think it shows Union the way how not to to do it. And I will shut up again.
No, for sure, I agree totally.
Yeah, I mean, Borussia Park is obviously a 50,000 plus stadium. And I think it's interesting what you say, Baz, about kind of losing the magic a little bit, and how not to do things. Because obviously, the conversation we had last time was about the Champions League. So as Union are progressing as a club and looking at how we develop the stadium, the last thing you want to do is build an out-of-town stadium that just is like all of the others and maybe loses some of that home advantage. I mean, our home form is exceptional, especially this season. But yeah, back to the game, Don. Obviously, we watched on TV, and the guys have said a bit about what they felt, but How did you feel from the terraces? Did we seem in control to you?
Well, I was listening to what you were saying a bit earlier, and you know, I think that's that on the whole, for me, that's been the major difference this year going to watch them, and particularly away. I believe that we're not going to concede most of the time, whereas before I think I would always believe we would concede, and it was the same yesterday. I felt from fairly early on that the way we were set up, the way we were organised, the way we were playing as a unit, that I couldn't see how they were going to score. You know, whether we were going to score was a moot point. You know, and we didn't have loads of chances. So I definitely had that feeling from the start. And obviously having Ronno in goal, I mean, he's just absolutely immense. And that can't help but, you know, play with the rest of the players as well. So, no, but I felt that, like at Schalke and a lot of the games I've gone to and even watching them as well on the telly, I just feel so confident about, and I think they are confident about not conceding.
Yeah, I mean, we really kept our shape yesterday. And I mean, you wouldn't have seen this, but at halftime, they showed the kind of the usual heat map of the players. And I mean, it would be, if Urs Fischer was going to say, this is the heat map that I want from my first half, I think that would have been it. We were hugely compact. We didn't let them play. And as you say, maybe we didn't look like we would score, but we're in a away game against a really good team, and our job was to, yeah, probably get in at halftime 0-0 and see what transpired in the second half. And I imagine it was pretty raucous on the terraces. Did you get a decent view of that that exquisite finish by Geraldo Becker?
The cross from Roussillon, yes. The actual finish, one of the joys that we've talked about this before, one of the joys of going to away games is that, because of our brilliant support, and our multitude of flags, you often see much less of the game than at home or certainly on the television. So I didn't quite see the Becker's finish. And it was so nonchalant that in a way you thought it had gone past. But you can imagine the reaction when it finally went in. And the support, as always, was absolutely solid from the start. And, you know, you can't help but get involved with that. And as this morning, you would have heard me, I had a very croaky voice this morning with a combination of singing, a couple of drinks, and the guy next to me chain smoking throughout the game. But he offered me a bit of his bratwurst, so that was okay.
Very generous, very generous. And I alluded earlier actually to Cottbus away, and it was actually at Cottbus when they played Zombie Nation at half time that the kind of the Unioner chant of Zombie Nation was born. I know that yesterday it also got an airing after the game. Imagine there was a really good atmosphere at when the final whistle blew and we got the 3 points done.
Well, absolutely. Well, you can tell me because I haven't seen it back. But, you know, it looked like Mikkel had scored just before that. So we were in complete chaotic scene anyway. And then the whistle went not long after, you know, because it took us for a while to realise that we hadn't, that wasn't them. The second goal. So the whole thing, and I mean, I sent the group a little film last night, but I mean, the stadium was, and I must say, actually, just picking up what you said before, they're decent, they're fans, you know, they got a good support, they were singing a lot, and they kept going throughout. I think they're a nice club and good supporters. But we were there continuing to sing long after the our team had gone in and, you know, most people had left. So people wanted to hang on to it, I think, to the moment. It felt like a really good, on a Sunday night, travelling all that way, you know, there was something really to relish in that.
Indeed, indeed. I'm sure the party zoo was fairly lively on the way back, and there were some exceptionally sore heads for those that got back to Berlin. So your feeling rough at 7:30 was probably fairly insignificant compared to some of those guys who... I would have imagined we're dancing in that little disco carriage on the party zoo on the way back.
Oh man, some of them would probably go into work straight off the train as well.
Indeed, indeed. So next up, we have two big games. We've got Leverkusen at home and Augsburg away. Now, obviously, Leverkusen played Union Saint-Gilles, who defeated Union quite heavily when they played, and me and Don were at that game. Leverkusen now sitting sixth, so that will certainly be a tough fixture for Union. We mentioned, Baz, about kind of winning home games. Is the Leverkusen game a must win, or is it a must not get beat fixture, would you say?
It's a must not get beaten fixture, actually, because I just had a look at the program of our competitors. And if we keep Leverkusen to a draw, they would be at 8 points with four games to go, I think, which is basically way too far away in the table to still overtake us. And let's not forget that what you mentioned, they're still in the Europa League, so they've got extra matches as well, which would only leave Leipzig. And I just saw that the program of Leipzig, the remaining five games, includes an away game at Freiburg and an away game at Bayern Munich. So they have a horrible program. So I guess that a draw for us against Leverkusen would already be more than enough. And if we then take 1 point in, I think it's Augsburg, and get 2 points of those three games, that would already soothe my mind to a certain extent.
Yeah, indeed. I think you make a good point about the run-in as well for Leipzig and how far Leverkusen are from us. So, I mean, we're obviously at the moment, everyone's thinking of the Champions League because we're third and that's what we're fighting for. But finishing in that top five is still a huge, huge achievement for Union. So you'd certainly take that draw against Leverkusen, especially the form that they're in. Maybe Leverkusen will come and try and play a bit of football. And I think games like the Bochum game, where maybe we haven't gotten a team that maybe are attacking, that leave a bit of space, is often difficult at home for Union. Mark, how do you see the Leverkusen game initially playing out?
One thing that we definitely have to do is be exactly as we were against Ajax, I think. That game there, we went into it thinking that we're not the favourites against Ajax, and we ended up having one of the great nights, certainly in recent history. And everybody, the fans especially, we have to be right on it. We have to make it into a fortress to make Leverkusen think, yeah, you're on a good run. Yes, you finally got the ethos of Xabi Alonso football, but you are not coming away from this ground with 3 points. That's what we have to do. Whether that's going to work or not, I'm not sure. I mean, they have Moussa Diaby, who's exactly the sort of player that we don't do well against. He plays well against us. The people in the WhatsApp group know my thoughts about the guy as a person, but this is a family pod, so we'll keep that away from this. But no, we are just favourites because of home advantage, I think. I would take a point. If we win, I think that's European football of any note is 90% sure then. And even Champions League football that would be a huge step on the way to Champions League football. Augsburg might be that one that's the banana skin of all of the remaining games. It also depends if Gikiewicz is in goal as well, if he's recovered from his little knock. Their sub keeper is a bit of a flapper. It's also a tough one, but they do have some very good players. Whether they're going to be safe or safer by that point is a moot point. Let's see how that pans out. I would be happy with. Or rather, 2 points, as Baz said, helps. 3 points would be good if we got it from Leverkusen. 4 points, I'd be ecstatic. 6 points, peel me off the ceiling, basically. I think that's what I would say.
I think that's a pretty good summary. And as you rightly say, I think creating that kind of cauldron at the Alder Forsterei will be key. But also this idea of when there's a game, and I would include Gladbach away in this, where we weren't favourites by any means to win that game. So I think the games sometimes as well where Union maybe aren't favourites suit us a little bit more, and I'm sure that Fischer will be hopefully using that. And Kyle, your thoughts?
When it comes to the Leverkusen game, there's something really important to play for that maybe people will not know of, but is I'll explain. So there is someone somewhere, probably in England, has traced back. It's called UFCC_World, Unofficial Football Club Championship is what it's called, and this is traced back all the way from the first ever noted game of football involving Wanderers back in England in 1800 and something. This game against Leverkusen is playing for that title, so this has been traced through all of, like, ever since then. It's ended up, we're one of a small number of Belgian teams that hasn't had it. It had bounced around regional leagues at some point in the past, so Tasmania have held this trophy and so on, and various other teams. Victoria have held it as well. Hertha have held it, which is probably the only thing they'll ever win. Leverkusen have held it ever since they took it off Ferencvaros in the Europa League earlier this season in March. They've been unbeaten in the 9 games since. So, very niche thing that we would become unofficial world champions. You could say if we were to beat Leverkusen. Does it mean much? No, but it's a bit of fun. Leverkusen is going to be a tough game. We're probably playing them at the worst time because this is a rare week where they don't have a midweek fixture. I think it's their last one, potentially. They wouldn't be affected by a midweek fixture. It gives them so it means that they shouldn't really be managing the squad too much. If Wirtz is out still for the game, that's a big help for us because he's been incredible ever since he came back from that long way off. They'll of course be trying to win the Europa League, and the Champions League football can come with that, but they'll no doubt want to try and secure it through the league as well. I think if we were to beat them, that kind of ends that for them. It makes it very difficult for them to do that. If they're to draw or then beat us, it becomes a very realistic possibility, and that's to our detriment, definitely, if we were to lose. For them to gain 3 points on us, that's tough, given their form and so on. So, yeah, I don't view us as favourites going into it, but the home crowd certainly always helps us. Missing Kevin Behrens this weekend will be tough, given how key he's been to the way we're playing at the moment. But Jordan's looked okay in the last few games. You know, he'll actually get, this is his opportunity. And as we see in previous seasons, the team likes to kick on at the end. So, you know, if we're having another front player find a bit of form at this time of year, that'd be great. The Augsburg game, we've only beat them once since we come up, and even though they have been dreadful the whole time, you know, dodging relegation somehow, they're just we cannot get rid of them. There's plenty of other ways to say that, but yeah, they just won't get relegated for some reason. But yeah, it'd be great to finally beat them. I think it was, what, first of the second season? You know, either way, we've played them a good few times and still only beat them once. So they're kind of our banana skin team. They just seem to have our number. It'd be good to turn that around. And yeah, like Jameson said, I kind of agree that, you know, if we were to take 6 points out of these fixtures, yeah, bit me off the ceiling. The Champions League football should be secured. And hey, if Dortmund and Munich want to keep slipping up, you know, maybe not this weekend for Munich because they're playing the Shambles in Charlottenburg, but maybe the week after, we'll see.
I think two people mentioning a possible 6 points is going a bit far, so we'll try and bring you guys down to earth at some point. Before I do so, Don, what's your thoughts on the next two games? Obviously, the Leverkusen game at home with Alonso, who apparently Liverpool are looking at as a potential successor to Klopp. I mean, that's how high regard he's held in. And then as Kyle rightly said, Augsburg, the kind of bit of a bogey team for Union. How do you see those two games playing out?
Yeah, I wouldn't add a lot to what the colleagues have said. As long as they're looking at other managers and not ours, the big English clubs, then that's fine. I'm all, you know, good on them. I'm quite optimistic about Leverkusen if we play the way we can play. And what Mark says is quite right about some of their players and us not liking them. But I think Becker is a confidence player, and that goal might just give him a power boost towards the end of the season. And if it's him and Jordan, then that might come to good effect. And I think we've been very successful, especially at home. I call it the Urs power play, where we really, usually at the start of the second half, they go into that turbo mode for a while. And I reckon that might be effective there. We'll see. I agree with this stuff about Augsburg. Listen, I've bought a ticket. So if I do go, I'm hoping we put out a good performance, whether Geeky's playing or not. But they're another one. They're a bit like us. They sometimes turn up. They sometimes don't turn up. They sometimes turn up in the second half. So let's see. I'm not going to say 6 points, but I just feel like when I was at Frankfurt a few weeks ago in the Pokal, I thought we were flat and had lost ourselves a bit. But last night, it just felt like that, you know, and it may be that we've got that boost now. We've been released from the other competitions we're in, and we might just get it together.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, if there was any time to play Leverkusen, yeah, obviously, as you say, Kyle, they're undefeated in 9 or whatever it is. But you've got to again look at the home record that we have. We're undefeated at home this season. So, yeah, the pessimist might say, well, we've got to lose sometime, but we've certainly got a huge chance to progress. Before we close the podcast this week, this is episode 20, and I started thinking, just kind of, could I name 20 things about Union that kind of I know some of the quirky things, the reason I like going, and I started to jot a few things down, started to think about things like, I know, the scoreboard, Matushka himself. Some moments that you have watching Union, and sometimes they're just kind of a freak away day that sticks in the memory because of something quite quirky. I don't necessarily think we need to celebrate 20 things each or 20 things as a group, but maybe if I said to you guys, okay, and I've sprung this on you, so huge apologies, but if I said to you, you had to start making a list of 20 sort of random things about Union that could come from anything to the group that you go at the match with, or old games gone past, or something funny that you've seen at the stadium, what would it be? Jameson, you're probably the stalwart of the group who's been going for longest. So unfortunately, I will pass the baton on to you first.
I've already mentioned it in this podcast, but definitely having 50 very thirsty Union fans rocking the beer wagon from left to right at BFC Preußen in the rain in the Regionalliga, while the owner battens down the hatches, tries to fix the keg where it's going left and right, and he's the most annoyed person in the entire world. That's certainly a snapshot.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of everything else would be cliche. I think I don't know. I think saying the 20 things you like most about Union, everyone would come up with stuff like, yeah, you can have a beer in the stadium, and yeah, we built our own stadium. We have the memorial to things. How we deal with deaths in the family, in the Union family. I always find that's a very nice way of doing things and showing our respect to the people who aren't there. The game where everybody held up pictures of people who are no longer there to be there to see the Bundesliga. The changing the entire stadium into a front room for the World Cup. I know that was viewed with a bit of skepticism, that it was a bit too much commercialism, but all those things that make it the club that we all love, I would say.
Very good, very good. And some nice mentions there of things that have happened at Union. I mean, the couple of moments that I got to myself when I was thinking, both involved away games. One was where it was just a disparate group of us who went to Cottbus. Nothing specific about the game, but it was just being there with an international group, and Union in the carriage asking sort of where people were from, why we were watching Union in the second division at an away match. And then linking back to the party zoo that went to Gladbach, the party zoo to Kaiserslautern, met up with Cherry, who can't be on the podcast, unfortunately, till later on in the season. But we met up to watch the cricket, had a few pints in town, very foolishly, got on the party zoo about 2-3 in the morning, and those party zoo days are pretty blurry. Game was good, got beat, but you know, that's what used to happen against Lautern in the day. Maybe bring on to you, Tim, is next.
You almost silenced me, because it was really, really difficult to find something that is like so uniquely Union. Two things that stuck with me. Last week on a Sunday afternoon, when there was no match, I was actually walking around the stadium, taking pictures as well. And then you just realize how ramshackle the stadium is for people who've never been there. When you see, for instance, like the bars, which are containers somehow perched on the earth wall and hoping that it's never going to slide down. Everybody knows as well during matches that you've got like these small, I don't know how to call it in English, these 50 liter barrels. So there's not even almost like a professional beer system. That's how ramshackle our stadium is. And I think the second thing is just the spontaneity of when we got up, not only on that Monday night, but also especially even I think on the Wednesday when the celebrations continued in the stadium. And I was there with a friend with German Tom, as we like to call him. And we just entered the stadium, the pitch, and there were just patches of pitch missing everywhere. It was such a beautiful, beautiful mess. And I think something like that, so spontaneous and unorganized, can only happen at Union.
Yeah, kind of sometimes you get the impression Union are the masters of kind of beautiful chaos. So let's hope the last five games are like that. Kyle, if I was to give you that question, to start jotting a few things down, what would maybe spring to your mind at the top?
I guess it's not something that's particular about the club itself, but or like the stadium itself and that, because all these things are covered countless times. Every time you watch an Union game, particularly on its English language feed, you can play bingo with, oh, it's you know, the fans donated blood and they built their own stadium and stuff like that. But the sort of area around and in Köpenick, and specifically, you know, the different sort of the bars and stuff like that, that like, which maybe sounds stereotypical, but I think like this when it comes to, like, when I go to games at Celtic, or if I go to, when I'm back in Ireland, go to see Bohemians as well, the sort of the good times you have in the bars around the game before and after, like we would countless laughs in the tanker, or if it's raining, into the Hauptmann, and just the sort of the memories you have with like really good people, and countless, maybe too many feffies and so on. Yeah, it's the bits like that that I think are, you know, are like during lockdown and that, when you can't go, it's like things like that that you start to miss, you know, just, oh, how nice it'd be to stand at the tanker, you know, with a constant smell of sausages and just everyone all across the street and almost spreading out into the road and stuff. Just, it's a bar that would never work in any other circumstance, the tank in particular. Like, it's outside, you know, it's not, it's dilapidated, like Baz is saying about in the ground. Like the tank is just, you know, a fence, really. It's got a toilet that's indoors, and that is the extent of it. But yeah, it's places like that where people come together, you know, from all different walks of life, and that we all come from different parts, we're all from different generations and so on, we come together and share that one love of a football club that sometimes frustrates us madly, but brings us a lot of happy times.
Almost brought a tear to my eye, Kyle. Don, what would your maybe standout moments or so be for you watching on your?
I'm sure there's lots, isn't there? Just some of you've already mentioned. Three quick ones from me. First one is Schalke away this season. And Flo and I, on the bus, we were made to go on a bus to the ground, but we had a 12 police van escort for two buses, all with flashing lights. And it was like, you know, being in the Queen's King's Parade through the streets of Gelgakerskin going to the ground. So that was quite memorable. I think the second one is a personal one, in that, you know, my background is in culture and museums and arts, and, you know, I've been able to use my experience with Union in my work. It's integrated into some of my lectures, because I talk a lot about communities and how you work with communities and creativity and those things. And Union is a great example with that. And for instance, Mark, you'll remember you and I meeting Andorra early on years ago in Berlin, the artist who's a famous Unioner, did the corner flags and all of that. And I've, through other work, I've made relationships with the guys who run Market Hall 9 in Kreuzberg, and the football's been a big part of a conversation for me with them. So it's brought together my professional and my personal life. And the last one, I think, is, again, just what Kyle said about this group, and that's the first trip we went to Leipzig on. Remember, about 10 or 12 of us went on a weekend trip. And again, it was, you know, German Tom. It was a mix of this group, all different ages and from different places and different background. And that was quite a bonding experience. We had an absolutely fantastic time, had a great bargain in a hotel. We did a bit of history. we did a bit of art, we did a bit of drinking, and we did football, and we enjoyed our company and our community. And, you know, that more than anything is what I appreciate about Union and the friendships that I've gained through that.
And I think that that sense of community is probably a really, really good way to end the podcast. I think the sense of community is hugely hugely strong, and part of the reason we kind of reignited the podcast as well is that a couple of people said, oh, we quite enjoyed listening to you guys, and we all got a fare last week and said how much we'd enjoyed it. So a big thank you to those people who said that we should keep up with the podcast. Thanks very much, Don, for your first foray into the Matushka's Right Peg. Really nice to hear some of those stories. And Timmers, as always, I won't mention what you're wearing, but if you could have some slightly more clothes on next time, that would be useful. Kyle, thanks again. I know you do a great job editing it and making it sound a lot better than it does the first time we all record it. And Jameson, as ever, for your astute knowledge and giving us some throwbacks to the early years is always appreciated by people on Twitter. So I'll leave it there. Stay strong, John, and we'll see you all next time.